Coming up today, we'll talk about a retreat that can bless your pastor and his wife and equip them for long-term ministry. Bert Harper will be with us.
And if we can get the husband and wife and their relationship to the Lord growing, it's like a triangle, and I know this is used there at the base, but as both of them grow and get closer to the Lord, they also get closer to one another.
Then pastor and Bible teacher Bill Eliff will describe the signs of spiritual awakening in America and the one ingredient that can transform our prayer lives.
John said, I've come to know and believe the love God has for me. And perfect love casts out fear. I'm not afraid. I have nothing to fear if I know the Lord loves me like that.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Welcome to the program today. You know, if we want strong, healthy churches, then we need strong, healthy families in those churches. But strengthening families and homes has to include those of the pastor himself. That is the goal behind the Repairing the Foundations ministry here at AFA and the upcoming Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat in October. Pastor Bert Harper is co-host of Exploring the Word, along with Alex McFarland, heard weekdays here on AFR, and he's here to talk about this event coming up. Pastor, well, welcome.
Jeff, it's good to be with you, and I'm always anxious to talk about Fishbowl.
Yeah, so this is really exciting. Now, you have been a pastor over 40 years, so tell us what some of those needs are that pastors and their wives have, and how are you meeting those at this event?
I would say one of the greatest needs is relationships, and the husband and wife's relationship strengthened, because a lot of times the pastor's wife feels like he's taking care of everybody else, but what about what we're doing. Jan, my wife, and I, we lead this. And matter of fact, it was her idea. She's the one that said we need to do this. And we started this years ago. And then when we came on board at AFA, they asked us to continue it, and we have. But relationships, and one of the things that happens is the relationships that occur at the Fishbowl with other couples. And because of modern communication, we have people that are real good friends, and one lives in Texas, the other lives in Tennessee, one lives in Illinois, the other one lives in Georgia. So that happens because the relationship with the Lord, the relationship with a husband and wife, the relationship with the children, and then someone that's in the same boat you're in, in the same fishbowl, glass house, that they can understand sometimes what you're going through.
You know, in our home state here, there are one-third of the churches without a pastor. We're really in a crisis situation with our churches, and this is a much-needed event. Are a lot of these pastors, and you alluded to it, they're right on the edge, some of them, of leaving the ministry, and you're able to step in and to minister to them and to encourage them. So this is a really much-needed ministry that you're engaged in.
This is what it's about. It's not them learning how to preach better, how to be a great leader, but really make sure your relationship with the Lord is right.
Okay.
And if we can get the husband and wife and their relationship to the Lord growing, it's like a triangle, and I know this is used there at the base, but as both of them grow and get closer to the Lord, they also get closer to one another. Yep. But in doing so, I found out two things go along with growing in the Lord. One is serving. Now, the pastor and his wife doesn't have any problem finding a place of service, man. It is there, wide open, in praise. But the other is accountability with encouragement.
Hmm.
And if you have someone you're just accountable to and no encouragement, it can get a little tough. If you get somebody that just encourages you with no accountability, it can grow soft. So what you want to do is find those people in your life that will hold some accountability with encouragement along the way. Yep. And that's what we try to develop at Fishbowl.
All right, describe the event. So this is coming up this October.
Yes, October the 28th, 29th, and 30th.
Okay.
That's a Tuesday through Thursday. It starts at lunch on Tuesday, ends with lunch on Thursday. And during that period of time, it is a retreat, not a conference, where you have free time to talk with one another, share with one another. And Jan and I, we pour into them.
Okay.
That's what we try to do. That's my experience, her experience. And since it was her idea, she goes first. And she lays it out a little bit. And I've seen a lot of the pastors kind of, okay, that's how my wife feels. Because Jan's able to express it in such a way that they are able to understand that. Wow. And so we try to pour into them as much as we can the encouragement that God's given to us.
The website is repairingthefoundations.net to find out more about this. And we really encourage you to check that out for your pastor. Maybe you're a pastor. Maybe you're a pastor's wife that's listening. Check out the website, repairingthefoundations.net. Can churches send or sponsor their pastor?
Most of the time, that's how it happens.
Oh, is that right?
Most of the time, it is a Sunday school class, an individual, a church saying, we want our pastor and his wife, we want to treat them. And we're going to be at Pickwick Landing State Park. There's a lodge there. It's beautiful. It's right on the Tennessee River.
Oh, yeah.
And you can find it on our website. There'll be a map there where you can get there. And it's a beautiful setting, and it relaxes you and helps you along the way.
Once again, the website is repairingthefoundations.net to find out more. And we should say that all of this information will be up on Monday, the 28th of April. So you may want to come back sometimes next week and check that out, repairingthefoundations.net. Pastor Harper, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, the National Day of Prayer will be coming up this next Thursday, May the 1st, and spiritual awakening is on the mind of many Christians who understand that only God can heal our land and revive our lives and churches. Bill Eliff is pastor, church director for One Cry, a national call for revival and spiritual awakening. He's also the founding and national engage pastor of the Summit Church in North Little Rock, Arkansas, and really has devoted his life to communicating the whole counsel of God and the need for spiritual awakening. So, Bill Eliff, welcome to the Stand Radio.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It's wonderful to be here. And I love this season of the year where we're really calling people to pray.
Mm. Do you see signs of spiritual awakening when you look across our land today?
It is so evident. Jeff, I was birthed in the Jesus movement in the 70s. So I got that taste in my mouth early of what God can do with his manifest presence, and have been a student of revival and awakening for 50 years and sought, prayed for God's movements in many places. I have never seen a moment like right now. And I don't think we're in the tsunami of a nationwide spiritual awakening, but I believe we're in the foothills. Hmm. And beginning with Asbury 2 years ago, which was just an extraordinary moment, and in which over, you know, there were over a billion TikTok mentions about Asbury during that season.
Hmm.
A billion. You just think about that. It went around the world. Wow. And it started a level of spiritual interest, particularly among Gen Z, that has continued and accelerated to this day. I think we've seen a lot of signs of that.
Hmm. I heard an interview recently on Washington Watch. Tony Perkins was speaking to a pastor who had a prayer ministry on campuses like Princeton and Harvard, some of the Ivy League schools, and he was talking about the signs that he is seeing there. Are you seeing that on college campuses in particular, or is that just widespread?
Jeff, I'm seeing signs everywhere, and particularly on college campuses. I've been involved with the Collegiate Day of Prayer the last few years since Asbury, and this past year, we gathered a large number of Gen Z students at Texas A&M for the Collegiate Day of Prayer broadcast and interviewed and heard from so many of them. There is a level of surrender to Christ, passion, unity. They're ready to go all over the world. It's pretty phenomenal. And what's interesting is this generation that we thought, what in the world is going to happen? You know, these kids don't even know if they're a boy or a girl. And God is just flipping these kids around, just like he does in times of revival. And he's done in every major awakening, he's redeemed a generation, getting us ready for the next decades. And he's doing it right now. He's also doing it in churches.
Okay, I was going to ask you about the churches.
Yeah, I'm seeing more evangelism, more lost people just getting saved. Every pastor that I know is seeing record numbers of salvations right now in their churches. And I think about Samuel Davies, who was the apostle of Virginia in the First Great Awakening and the president of Princeton. And Davies said that I watched pastors for many, many years preach messages with very little results. And then he said, and then the revival came, and those same men would preach the same messages, and 200 people would be saved in a day. And he said, here's his statement, the gospel became almighty and carried everything before it. Isn't that a great statement?
Wow.
And that's what happens in times of revival. And I think if you took just the reports that we have now and put them in a book and read them 20 years from now, you would say they were in a movement. They were in a moment where God was manifesting himself. If we don't quench it, if we don't hinder it, I believe we could see great things, not only nationally, I think internationally.
That's exciting. Speaking of prayer and how we cannot hinder what the Lord is doing right now, you've written that, quote, the most powerful person in the room is the one who prays. Explain that, and how does that relate to spiritual awakening and some of what we're seeing today?
You know, I was sitting on a plane, and I saw a guy came in, and he looked very powerful, like a big businessman. And I thought, I wonder who the most powerful guy in this plane is. And I immediately had that thought, Jeff, well, the most powerful person is the one who prays, because everybody else in the plane just has themselves. But the person who prays brings God into the equation. And God has all the resources in the world. And I think it's just a true statement. And so God has always linked prayer to revival, hasn't he? I mean, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, there's something about us getting to the point of desperation that we finally turn to the Lord. And the evidence of that is our humble cry, our humble prayers. And we are seeing right now, several years ago, my dear friend Dave Butts, who was on our One Cry team and the head of the National Prayer Committee, made the statement that we are seeing more people pray right now in American history than any time in human history. And he said, I think I can verify that. I think our prayer team can verify that. There's just an unprecedented amount of desperation that's happening. Again, I don't think it's full-blown revival and spiritual awakening, but it is significant. And if you look through revival history, the 10 years prior to every great movement in American history was a preparatory season. And you saw several things began to be emphasized. One of them was the role of the Holy Spirit, which by and large had been at times we lose sight of because we depend upon ourselves. But secondly is desperate prayer and united prayer. Just the movement, we have seen almost 100,000 college students in the last 18 months gather in basketball stadiums just to pray and repent and cry out to the Lord. And so, I mean, when have we had that in the last decade?
Right.
And there's this is unusual, and we believe it's the precursor to revival.
We want to encourage people, obviously, to pray, especially during these kinds of movements, these kinds of seasons. A lot of people, Bill, struggle with prayer. It's hard work, in a sense. Can you give us a little bit of advice on how we can more effectively pray, and especially for those who struggle with prayer?
Well, that's a loaded question right there. I've written some books on that, but I think number one, prayer always begins with desperation. So if you can go a day or a week or a month without really praying, it's just a clear indication you think you can live your life without God. And that's just pride, and God opposes a proud man. So first of all, I think recognizing we need the Lord, and the only way we can access that is through believing prayer. I think secondly, just learning how to pray. There are several great, many great books on prayer. I wrote a little book called Simply Prayer that was just basically an attempt to say, if you don't know how to pray, here it is, just as the Lord taught it in Matthew 6 and in other places. And read books on prayer, study prayer, get with a group of people and start praying together. Just begin to pray together. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be consistent. And you will find that the Lord wants you to learn how to pray more than you want to learn how to pray. And He'll meet you, and He'll help you there.
You mentioned the book Simply Prayer. You wrote in that book that a proper understanding of God's love impacts our ability to pray. Talk about that characteristic of God and how that helps us to pray better.
You know, I'm not meaning to mention another book, but I just finished another book called The Presence-Centered Life. And I spent 2 years, Jeff, studying this and the presence of God. And what I discovered from Genesis to Revelation is God's presence is our greatest need. I mean, what could we need? If you have His presence, you have His nearness. You have everything. But here's the second part of that statement, and that is our presence with Him is His great desire. I don't think we believe that. But God, if you study the Bible, and that was the premise of this book, from Genesis to Revelation, it is one long work by God to bring us back into the garden. He wants our presence. He wants to be. I have 8 kids and 27 grandkids, believe it or not. I love to be around my grandkids. If I don't hear from them, I'm upset with them for not calling. And I love those FaceTime calls, you know. It's because I love them. Well, if I, being evil, love my grandkids like that, how much more does the Lord love us? And so prayer, when you turn and begin to believe that our presence is God's great desire, suddenly prayer turns from a duty to a joy. It's the privilege of walking into the presence of God and communing with Him, and we can do it 24/7. We can come boldly because of this introduction that Christ has given us by grace through faith to stand boldly in His presence and have peace facing God, Paul said. You know, Rosalind Rinker said prayer is just a conversation with two people who love each other. Mm-hmm. And when you go there, instead of this dutiful, I've got to go through my list and, you know, get this done so I'll be a better Christian, it changes the whole equation and becomes such a delight to you and to your Father.
Mm, that's very, very good. Is that what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 15 when He gave the illustration of the vine, the branches, the abiding in Him?
Absolutely. Yeah, it really is. This is the reason why I studied His presence for 2 years, is I wanted to see, is it possible for us to remain consistently conscious and aware of God's presence all day long? He says, pray without ceasing. So there's bound to be a way to do that. And I've experienced that at times in my life. And the Lord gave us an incredible visitation several years ago that started on a Sunday morning that just broke loose and went to 3 o'clock in the afternoon and ended up going every night 3 and 4 hours a night for 5 weeks, totally unplanned. And we were just in the presence of God. And what people were not quenching the Holy Spirit. They were just not resisting what God was doing. And so God kept doing things because He loves to make Himself known, you know, and He loves to save people. And I think it's possible for us to literally abide, which means to remain in a stable or fixed condition. And in that book, I try to talk about the ways of God in pursuing us, and then the ways of a presence-centered man or woman, how you need to learn how to draw near. How do you commune with God? How do you live with a repentant, constantly repentant heart? How do you keep following him and keep abiding with him? And I think it's very possible to do. It's hard because the world is filled with distractions, isn't it? I mean, everything in the world is pulling us away. Satan knows that. And since the garden, he knew if he could just get us separated from the presence of God, he had us, right? And so he works at that full time. And he doesn't care what separates us. He just wants to separate us.
What is the single thing that you can remember in your studies that has had the most impact on your love to pray? Has it been the knowledge of God's desire for you to commune with him?
Absolutely. It's that. And, you know, I was talking with two professors who've written an amazing book called God's Relational Presence, The Comprehensive Center of Biblical Theology. And they're friends of mine. I went and I talked to them. We spent the morning together talking about how God has been pursuing us through the way he created us, the way he's called us. Then he sent his son to dwell with us. Then he sent his spirit to indwell us. And then he's coming back to take us to be with him forever. And when we got through talking that morning, I was just in tears. And I said, you know, the verse that comes to my mind is 1 John 4, where it says, John said, I've come to know and believe the love God has for me. And perfect love casts out fear. I'm not afraid. I have nothing to fear if I know the Lord loves me like that. It has transformed my praying, and frankly, it's transformed my life, Jeff. And it draws me to him. When I know he loves me like that, and it's wonderful.
How can that come into the church corporately and sort of transition from an individual's seeking the Lord in prayer to more of a corporate? And you've been a pastor, so how would you pastor a church in those types of directions?
Well, I tell you an interesting phenomena I've seen in the last several years. COVID, you know, the world shut down in 6 weeks. And God, in that moment, we were stripped of everything, health, you know, money, all kinds of things. And the churches were stripped of all the things that we held on to make us feel good about ourselves. You know, nobody was comparing attendance numbers during COVID. Jeff, I cannot tell you how many pastors I've talked, dozens and dozens of pastors I've talked to since COVID, who said, I got into COVID. I couldn't get numbers. We had financial problems, this and that happened. And I came to the end of myself. They all say the same thing. And they indicate two things. I realized I was proud. I thought I had it all together running my church. And secondly, I was prayerless. And one after another, they said, I just confessed that to my church. That was a very key thing that you'll hear from so many of these guys. I confessed it to my church. They got honest.
Yeah.
And then they said, sink or swim, live or die, we're going to learn how to pray. I know I could name for you two or three churches right now, just as an illustration, who were good churches. One that baptized on average 80 to 100 people a year, another one 200 a year. And both of those pastors came to that same experience during COVID, confessed it to their church, called the church to regular weekly prayer and made it a priority. And both those churches the next year baptized over 1,000 people.
Wow.
One of those baptized 1,000 the next 2 years in a row and is still seeing an amazing number, but they're praying.
They're praying.
They're praying. They'll have 500, 600, 700, 800 people in prayer. And I think it starts with the leaders. I mean, it's there's just no way of getting around that. It starts with pastors and leaders and elders and deacons surrendering back to the Lord and making a serious commitment to prayer. Somewhere along the way in American Christianity, we decided we could do this thing without prayer. And God said, well, I'll let you do what you can orchestrate, what you can work up, you know, but it's not going to be my work because I oppose the proud, but I will pour out my grace on the humble. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 59 times in the 28 chapters of Acts. We don't talk about him and his work and reliance upon the Spirit of God. And I'm not talking about some crazy thing. I'm talking about being filled and controlled by the Spirit of God. And prayer is mentioned in almost every chapter of the book of Acts. Well, that's foundational.
Yeah.
And we have left those things. And I think God is humbling us and bringing us back.
Well, the truth is we do need God desperately, whether we know it or not. That's the fact. We absolutely do. Bill Eliff, pastor, church director for One Cry, a nationwide call for revival and spiritual awakening, and also founding and national engaged pastor of the Summit Church there in North Little Rock, Arkansas. You have a website, BillElliff.org, and I'll spell that, E-L-L-I-F-F, BillElliff.org. where you can find all kinds of resources, teaching resources on prayer, of course, church leadership resources, books and resources on communion with God and spiritual awakening. So thank you for providing all of this, and God bless you for your work in encouraging the churches. And we are in an exciting period, and you've whet our appetite to seek more of the Lord. So thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for being with us.
My joy. Thank you, Jeff.
We invite you to join us next time as we visit with a young filmmaker who's using his skills to help others live boldly for Christ. Ken Ham will also preview an event coming up at the Ark Encounter featuring three generations of astronauts. If you've enjoyed today's program, you'll love our Stand magazine. Get your free trial subscription at afa.net/thestand. To get a podcast of any of these programs, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify and check us out at afr.net. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time on The Stand Radio.